Since today is Mother's Day, the lesson today is Unfeigned Faith of Mothers. And our devotional and background study comes from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Sophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eluha, the son of Tohu, the son of Su, and an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penai. And Penai had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penai his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, at this time of life. Our lesson text today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now Paul here is writing this letter to Timothy, and he is telling Timothy, he is reminding Timothy of the faith that was in Timothy's mother and in Timothy's grandmother, and he's making the statement that he believes also that that unfeigned faith is in Timothy as well. He has reminded Timothy of these important women that was in Timothy's life. And I think that it's good for us today. Now, it seems that I have more mothers here than I do men. I guess what I'm saying is I'm preaching to the choir, as the saying goes. Y'all are mothers, and this is maybe really a lesson that ought to be taught to children and maybe men, I don't know. But Paul is reminding Timothy of the influence that these women have had upon him, and he's, I believe, causing a reflection perhaps. He's hoping to cause a reflection for Timothy to stop and think and understand where it is that he got to. And I think that's good for us also. And I guess this is maybe a fitting lesson for some of y'all, mothers as well as husbands and children. But we all can look back and see the ones that were influential in our lives. My mother is here today, and she was very influential in my life, in the bringing me to church and guiding me, giving me counsel. And I'm thankful for that, because without that, you know, it's almost certain that things would have gone much worse in my life, that I wouldn't be where I am today. I mean, y'all can all just stop and imagine. You see how that some children turn out. And I think that, not saying that I turned out great, but I think I turned out as well as I did because of the influence of my mother. So, and I think that's a little bit about what Paul is bringing forth to Timothy here, to remember these two women that was in his life. Now, we have set aside this day as Mother's Day, and I think that's a good thing. I think that's what we ought to do. And there's a lot of different ways that this lesson could go today. I don't really know exactly which direction I'm going to take. I know that I taught it last year, and I brought out a lot about the parallels of motherhood and the church, how that the church, the influence that the church has over the lost individuals and also the saved individuals as far as guidance and correction. And that is one of the things that mothers do. They correct us when we kind of get out of line. They're there to correct us. And the Bible teaches us that correction is good, that the children need reproof. And they do. Mine maybe didn't get it as much as they needed sometime. And it's a fine line, I believe. You know, you can. The Bible also teaches us not to be overly harsh, not to cause bitterness with the children. So, and I think that's what a wise mother knows, that she understands and she's capable of discerning when the spanking is needed and when words are needed and guidance. Well, we all need to be that way. We all need to be prayerful to God that He would guide our hearts, because we need to know, you know, we need to know the words to speak. And this is not just with children, but with other people too. Without that, the thing says, the title of our lesson is Unfeigned Faith of Mothers. We all need to have faith, and it needs to be real. It doesn't need to be fake. It doesn't need to be something that we use to try to impress people. You know, I think it's wrong to be putting on a show and be out in the workplace and acting as if you have faith in the Lord, when in reality maybe there's doubt in your heart. And but rather it needs to be genuine. And I think the only way that we can have that is through prayer and through drawing near to God, that He would strengthen us. He would give us that faith. And, you know, I guess I fall short of that many times. I tend to be a doubtful person. I tend to, I guess, be a pessimist. And I don't think that's what the Lord wants from me. I don't think He wants me to be. I know He doesn't want me to be doubtful concerning Him and things that He will do. And the Bible teaches us that... He says, I think it's in Hebrews, I didn't look it up, I didn't think about it until just now, that the Lord said He'd be with us always. And He tells us in Matthew how that He speaks of the flowers of the field and the birds and how that the Lord takes care of those. And aren't we that much more worthwhile and valuable to Him than birds and flowers? So we have promises in the Bible that the Lord is going to take care of us. We need to rely upon that. We need to have faith. Kind of getting off of my subject of mothers here, but I think this is, you know, the subject here is the faith of mothers, and I believe that mothers do have faith when they're raising their children. They have to have, because y'all all know, I mean, you've all got children, you know what it's like, you know how that sometimes it just doesn't seem like they're ever going to straighten up and do right, and you've got to have faith that the Lord's going to be able to take care of that. But going even beyond that, we need to have faith in the Lord that we're His children and He's going to take care of us, and to trust in Him and to have a real faith. When we pray to Him, we need to have faith that He's going to hear our prayers, that He's going to answer them. Not necessarily that He's going to give us what we want,
But he's going to give us what we need. He's going to take care of us one way or the other. And you know, and I think this goes for any parent that, well, I won't go, there's some parents that don't need to be parents out there. Y'all all know that. But any good parent, any parent that truly loves their child, will do anything for their child. They will give their life if that's what it would take if that's what their child needed. There is no limit on what you would do for your children. And you want to do what's right. You want to do and take care of those. Well, the Bible teaches us that if we're that way towards our children and we're no good, how much more is the Lord taking care of us, being that we are His children? And I believe that everyone here is a saved individual. We are as much His children as we are anything. He will take care of us. He will see us through. Now, you know, we have the choice to stray, and we have the choice, if we choose to go somewhere where He doesn't want us to go. And I know, I'm sure I've done that in my relationship with my mom. You know, I've done things that she knew was I shouldn't be doing, and she didn't want me to do it. I have confidence. The reason that she didn't want me to do things, and the reason the Lord tells us not to do things and tries to direct our path, is because she knew what was best for me, and God knows what's best for me, and He knows what's best for us also. And when we do the opposite of that, we're bringing harm upon ourselves. And so we need to ask the Lord to help us. We need to ask Him to help us do His will, carry on in the path that He'd have us do, not undertake to advance our own will, to use our own mind to follow our thought process. The Bible tells us in Isaiah that your ways are not my ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That's what the Lord said. That's what God said. His thoughts are higher, and His ways are not my ways. And I need to trust in Him. I need to put my faith in Him and ask Him to help my faith, because He's not going to lead me wrong. He's not going to allow any harm to come to me. And if I can do what He would have me to do, I'm as secure as I can be and safe. Not to say that nothing bad will happen to me, but to say that He will be there to fend off the things that I can't do, and He will be there to guide me in the direction of the things that I can do to take care of myself. So we need to understand that when we're considering our relationship with God and with our mothers, that you know, if we will strive to obey, then they will take care of us both. And I believe that. You know, I know that you mothers, when you had very small children and you were pretty well in control of them, you took care of them. You held their hand. You didn't let them run out in the street, and you know, you probably didn't let them have Coke for breakfast and candy bars and things like that. If you did, it was to teach them that that's going to make you sick. And sometimes that's what it takes. I mean, sometimes you got to let them get sick to understand that she was right. That wasn't a good thing to do. But I guess the thing that I want to try to, that I'm trying to bring forth, is we as God's children today are His children, and we need to not think of Him as our mother, but think of Him as our Father. I don't want to get any misunderstanding there, but to think of us as His children, and how that He will take care of us, how that He will be there for us, to watch over us, just as mothers are the same way with their little children. I'm going to read a few verses here. I'm going to go to Exodus to start with. And chapter 20, verse 12. And it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And of course, this is one of the Ten Commandments here. To honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days might be long. Now you stop and ponder upon that for a little bit. Why are your days long when you honor your father and your mother? Is it because God's going to grant you long life? or is it something else? Well, you know, I believe that when we obey the Lord and we serve Him, He protects us and He does grant us long life. But going a little bit further than that, you know, if you honor your father and your mother and you do what they tell you to do, you're going to avoid a lot of problems. You're going to avoid getting mixed up with alcohol and drugs and things of that nature, things that lead to an early death. So there's kind of two different meanings here, I believe. To honor thy father and thy mother is going to help you out in two ways. It's going to help you out spiritually, that you will also heed to the calling of the Lord when He brings conviction upon your heart. And you're going to, once you learn to obey parents, your father and your mother, you also are in a position to obey God. And I'm afraid that this is a big problem in our society today, that we have children that don't honor their father and mother. They don't fear them, and they don't obey them. And I have to say that a child that won't obey his father and his mother is not going to obey the Lord, because, you know, that's a progression there of obedience. And if they're not going to obey in the simple, easy to understand things, they're certainly not going to fall into line on spiritual things. Let's go over now to Proverbs for just a second. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Instruction of thy father and the law of thy mother. You know, instruction and law are quite a bit similar, but law brings forth the thought of disobedience and punishment. I can instruct somebody on how to do something, but that doesn't carry with it the weight of a punishment if they don't do it. If I say, this is how you build something or whatever, and give people instructions on how to assemble something, and they don't do it, that's not to say that there's going to be any kind of punishment from me or anyone else if they fail to follow those instructions. But this, the law here of the mother, carries with it the idea that if you don't obey that law that the mother has laid out, there's going to be some punishment. And that is the case, or it should be the case, with when the mothers tell the child, you know, don't do that, don't go in that room, don't touch that, don't do whatever, or do this, do go there, do whatever. If the child doesn't do that, there needs to be some kind of reproof, some kind of punishment. And the Bible tells us to, I think, it speaks of the rod, and I don't know if I, yeah, we'll get to that in just a minute. There needs to be reproof and punishment for disobedience. And now, that's not maybe a popular idea with some people. Some people don't believe that. They think that you can reason with a child and you can explain things. I'm not of that mind. I don't believe that, because young children aren't reasonable. They're not. They don't understand. They don't grasp it. They can't follow along when they're very young. Now, as they get older, you begin to get into some opportunities. If you've raised them well, I think with the reproof and the rod, then you begin to introduce someone that can understand reason and can follow along with your line of thinking and why they shouldn't do what they're told not to do. But let's go to Proverbs just for a minute in 29, chapter 29. I guess I'm leaving motherhood here and giving y'all instruction on raising children, and y'all pretty much done with that, aren't you? You hope. Okay, well anyway, 29 and 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Okay, that's you don't really need me to explain that one. I think you can understand that. And I'm afraid that you can go into Walmart or Kroger or anywhere else, and you can probably stand there for very long. You'll find some children that they're left to themselves, and you have to look over at the mother and think, doesn't this bother you? And to be honest with you, I've been in the store, and mine were really small, and they kind of bothered me sometimes. I was ashamed. but I did occasionally put an end to the actions that bothered me. But anyway, I'm getting off course, and I'm not the mother, so. I think this is about all I've got, y'all. Probably a good time to stop. I do want to thank all of you mothers here, mine in particular, but all of y'all that have raised your children and did the best you can, and you know, it's good. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments?
I got one thought here that I didn't hear. A mother can bring a life into this world with a child, and nothing more important than the child being saved.
That's true. That's exactly right. And that's the mothers carry a great burden there, and a great, great joy also. So that's true.
Hey, Terry, just a thought. If you could get into the prayer of a mother, you would see that a mother spends more time praying for her children than she does anybody. And I'm probably sure I speak for all the moms here. Mm-hmm. And Brother Don, I wish salvation ended that prayer, but that only begins it, because there's just so much more after that. Mm-hmm. So I sit in a Bible study on Wednesday with the group of women, and there was a woman in the Bible study. And she was pretty sad. And our lesson on Wednesday was about faith. And I know that the women in this group right here have a lot of faith in the Lord. But when you look at the eyes of this mother, and she's crying, and she says, you know, she's prayed for her children before they were born, and her children are grown and have children. And none of them attend church with her. It just broke my heart, because truly that's what we want for our children, is for them to be in our churches. But then she shared something, and she said, my granddaughter recently got saved. And she got saved in another denomination, and she brought her son up correctly, and he knew what true salvation was and had been saved, and he explained to his mother the way that her granddaughter was saved, and it sounded exactly like it would be in it. It would have been in our church. So I just struggle with that, you know, that we have the faith that, you know, because that is the first thing we want for our grandchildren and our children, is to be saved, and it's the most important thing, because we know if they have the foundation and they have salvation, that God's going to never leave them, you know. So I guess my point here is it okay? Is it better to have be in church somewhere or not at all? You know, I don't even know where I'm going with this. I think it was important for me to make you understand that how important our children are to us women. They're our everything. It's why God put us here.
Thank you, Cindy.
And we need to be praying for our children, because there's a lot of them not in our churches. But I believe God's all over the place.
I believe you're
and
right.
And if they can't be here with us, that they'll be somewhere and get saved.
The Lord can take care of it. And like she says, you know, prayer is what we have to deal with this, how we have to take care of them.
Of course, I still say, bring a child the way she could when he's old, he won't depart from it. If you take him to church when he's young, I think he may leave church someday, but I think he'll return.
They're not returning to our churches.
The question also is, how old is old there? You know, I mean.
You know, I guess my point is, I pray my children will find the same soul to marry. Mm-hmm. And that my grandchildren will go to a missionary Baptist church. But if they don't, they'll just be a saint. Because I see so many that don't come back. And it scares me. And I guess that's where my faith falls short. You know, I have all faith in the Lord and the world, but I also know that every woman in this room has two, and they have children that are not in our churches. Mm-hmm. And I know they did not fall short of their prayers. I know these women. So, you know, where did we fall short? Or did we fall short at all? I guess we didn't. We didn't. I don't think. Maybe we did. I don't know.
I don't know the things that you're... What you're saying there have actually, they've crossed my mind also, because I remember when I was 10, 11, there was a group of kids my age that I sat with, and I'm the only one that still comes here, and the others are still in Nashville as far as I know. But
my son is attending church at one of these community churches with his wife. Mm-hmm. And I ask her, if every time she's around us, she says she more or less believes just like we do. But when I ask her what the service was like, I said, did they go up to pray? No, they take them back in another room. So even though the language sounds the same, it's not the same. They don't hear anything but love at those churches. They don't hear anything that would make anybody be under conviction. They have to hear it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid that's what's attractive is because there is no guilt in those places. There's no mention of repentance from what I can gather. And it's a good time, it's a good feeling, and it's attractive. It's when you sit down to eat, you may not like vegetables, and pretty much everybody likes candy and ice cream and cookies. But that's not what you need. That's not what's good for you. So, I don't know if that made any sense or not, but...
So, Terry, I'd like to say, I appreciate all the mothers, and I'm very thankful this morning for the mother that I have. Thankful that she's still with me. I think it's very important for the mothers and fathers alike that we set the example. Our children, we not only talk, that we live our lives perform each and every day. Mm-hmm. I look back on my life. My dad and I had this discussion probably a month before he passed away. I told him, I said, "Dad, I'm sorry for the things I've done to let you down through life." I said, "There were times in my life that I did things that were wrong. I'd go to places and I told him, I said, I'd park the car behind the building because I knew you and mother were going to church. I didn't want you to see my car at that place. But you know, I'm thankful that they raised me up, that I wanted to park my car behind the building." Mm-hmm. And he looked at me, he said, "Son, don't worry about your daddy's sins. Your Lord knew you parked your car right there." You know, he's your eyes on the Lord, and I'll never forget that. But they lived that life before me, and I'm so thankful for that this morning. I have a big responsibility in my family. My new grandson, children watch us. They watch how we live and the things that we do. You know, I'm preaching myself. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. And I appreciate the mothers. I appreciate those of you that are here this morning. That's the example right there. And I'm not going to yell at the mother in this church. If you're in here in Sunday school this morning, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jimmy. And you're right. I mean, you hit it on the head when you said it's not just Sunday and we have to live an example, and that's mothers and fathers both. We've got to be an example. If there's nothing else, let's keep Brother Armour in our prayers and remember the prayer request that was made a little while ago. Billy, would you dismiss us?
Big brother.